Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another reality show. I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and we are in for yet another insightful and, oh my, and indescribable, or actually very describable, I don't know, you'll make the call, show tonight, because I have a gentleman on who wrote a book, and I can sense it just from his energy from the few minutes I had spending with him before the show came on. Very high energy, but really going to make you look upside down and inside out and left to right and right to left. And as you guys know from all the shows that I do, this is all about perception. Perception, you know, they say possession is 9/10 of the law. Perception is 10/10 of the law. What you perceive is what you get. So I'm really excited about tonight's guest. And here, let me read a little bit of his, you know, the detail stuff that, you know, some people like to hear. All right, first of all, his name is Jeff Hutcherson. He's dynamic, and he does a lot of presentations that are interactive, and he really covers the spectrum from the subtle to the spiritual to the outrageously side-splitting and funny. I'm really excited to have him on the show. So let's just bring him on. Come on, Jeff. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. How's it going?
It's going very well, and it's a pleasure to have you. The book. Well, before we get into the book, I mean, clearly you have, I have to, I'm going to assume this, and yes, I am making an ass out of you and me if I'm incorrect.
We'll see.
My guess is that you have always walked to the beat of a different drum in order to have the perceptions you have had about the words and their definitions and the way the whole English language dances with you. I'm assuming that you have had some sort of a different look on life or a different feel in the world from the beginning, you know, from childhood and, you know.
Right. Yeah. Well, see what happened with that and how that came about. As I wrote the book is just basically me figuring out my life, how to make it work on the, you know, spiritual aspect and what, you know, and how to make it fun for me. But even throughout my whole life, I was always different and always creative and always out there and not, you know, not afraid to be who I was, and then saw how people reacted, you know, as I was being me and they wanted me to be someone else. And so, yeah, I always walked to my own drum, and sometimes I played to the rhythm of other people's beats, but then I found that as I was playing to their beats, you know, their rhythm just sucked. And I just wanted to change and go back to my own because I didn't want to get the same things that people were, you know, that they were getting. I wanted to get my own stuff, and I wanted to, you know, feel good about me and have the things that I wanted in life. And so I just really went back to listening and following my own heart and instincts and really stopped caring about what the peanut gallery says.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I think that's a big part of authenticity can only come when we really choose to just express ourselves as we see fit. And those that, you know, those that can handle it, enjoy it, or love it are those that do. And those that can't handle it, don't enjoy it, and don't love it, well, they're there too.
Right.
You know, you really can't worry about it.
Yeah,
yeah. So transformative new thoughts. Tell me about it.
Okay, well, this first book actually came from, like, I was sitting in meditation, and I got, you know, the idea concepts of downloaded for three books. So I started to write one book, and this one just became more prominent. Transformative New Thoughts, or I like to call it TNT, this was just a way to have a fresh, new experience with the words that we're using in our language, you know, because it's up to you. When you say that you have a good life, and what does that actually mean, you know? Or and if you're going to describe what your good life is it good according to your values and your heart, or is it good according to what you think other people are thinking about when they look at your life?
Yeah, that's a subtle but huge difference.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
And I found that when I was looking at my life through the eyes of other people, guess what? I saw nothing but detrimental comments and bad ways of looking at myself and feeling bad about what I was doing. And you know what? I got tired of feeling bad about what I was doing because, you know, I wanted to love me, and I loved what I was doing. And because I let other people's ideas override what I was thinking about what I was doing, you know, I kept going along that path and kept going along thinking that I was doing something wrong when the only thing that I was doing wrong was not listening to my heart. So the transformative new thought was I basically wanted to have a fresh new experience with my life and going back to the things that I enjoy.
That's
and that
awesome.
Was just me being me.
Well, and don't you love that when everything falls into place, it really becomes a very simple equation. You know, the difficulty tends to be when we're not being authentic. The simplicity comes very much so when we're being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
So, because... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you please.
No, it's very much so when you're being authentic because I make my life very simplistic because I want it that way. I need it that way. I can have most fun when things are put in very simple terms. You know what? Life is supposed to be joyful. Life is supposed to be fun. That's how it is. That's how it can be.
Right.
When you look at all of the, whatever you're drawn to for as far as any type of spiritual text or religious doctrine, you know, bottom line, there is a message from someone that they're quoting that says, there is joy, there is love here. You know, and when you're talking about things that are loving and joyful, well, they feel great.
They do.
You know, and then they talk about all of those things in life that are of a joyful and loving nature. You know, so that's the real stuff. And everything else is just, you know, I believe man-made manipulation to try to control you so that they can get you to do the things that they need you to do so that they can feel secure. How weird is that?
Well, what's ironic is if it is weird, it's the majority of the planet. So it's not just weird, it's scary.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Because even though this is really, my whole show is based on the awakening to the, because I find it funny how if you bring up a lot of these concepts in corporate atmospheres or any kind of political, governmental atmospheres, I mean, they'll look at you cross-eyed and, you know, upside down and inside out. And yet, when you really sit with these simple concepts, you can really sense that it is their losing of control of you that is really not, that is what's holding, making them ridicule you. You know, the ridicule
exactly.
is to keep you in the box, but the freedom is to start embracing outside of that, the tribe, so to speak, the tribe mentality.
Exactly. You know, and that's, I think that's one of the reasons why I have the name that I do, because my name is Jeffrey, and every time I hear my name, it is Jeffrey.
Oh,
Jeffrey.
Wow.
That's why I remind myself of how free that I am.
That's
you know, because we have a wonderful, wonderful free will, human spirit. You know, we are so free that we choose bondage in our thinking, bondage with our emotions, you know. And it's like, you know, no, I'm just free. I am free to choose what I want. I just need to recognize what I'm choosing. Do I like it? Does it make me feel good? If not, I can change it.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, you know, in your book, in you know, the first, I mean, you go right into this whole idea about what we can change. And it's not just about changing things. It's changing how we see things, how, I mean, actually how, what words say to us. Because you use, it's so funny, you use, you know, three of the biggest topics, you know, as a, well, money instead of politics, but God, money, and sex, which cracks me up because these are, you know, walk into a party, what are the three things you don't talk about? Money, sex,
right.
college.
Yeah.
And so I laughed because I went, oh, well, of course a book about transformation would be about the topics they don't want us talking about.
Right.
In a way, that creates freedom. You know, that's like, because it hit me, it's like, oh, that's why they don't want us talking about that stuff, because we actually might stumble upon these truths,
yep.
you know, and empower ourselves.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, if... Now, because I have, you sent me a copy of the book on email. I don't know if you can paint a picture, but I loved what you had done, you know, with the God, money, and sex, and the one going down it. It was like there was really exquisite. It almost felt like sacred geometry, i.e., with the visual of letters instead of right angles and circles and things of that nature.
Sure. Yeah, it's and again, that's part of my, you know, creativity. It's, that's part of my, because I actually saw this dynamic from another teacher.
Okay.
And once I saw that dynamic, I really pondered. And I said, well, what is the correlation between the two, or between these three things?
Right.
You know, I mean, these are the three vexes in our Western society, you know, and just look at it. The people listening or if in the chat room or whatever, what's going on, I don't know
That's
if you got
stuff.
A piece of paper at hand, you know, think about this. It's God, money, and sex. Now, you're going to want to stack these one right under the other. Or to make it simple, let's do it like this. Take the word one and spell it straight down, and then spell one again going across, and then on the top section, write GD, so you've got God, and then on the next line, you've got money, and then on the next line, you've got sex. Okay. So now, looking at this dynamic, now these are the three biggest controlling factors that we have in our Western culture.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they do it on the rest of the planet, but, you know, this is where I am, this is where I'm pulling from.
Right.
So it's one. The one stands for your own natural energy. Now, if you take some of these concepts that I'm talking about, you can dissolve a lot of the limitations that you have on yourself. And you have to play with it. Well, you don't have to play with it. I would suggest that you play with it, that you be easy with it, because if it's not fun, it's not worth doing in my book. So, since we're going to be playing along those lines, let's just jump right into it, okay? With the God aspect or the spiritual aspect, I don't care what name you call it, it's the source that created everything, that is in everything, that there is nothing that is without. Your own natural energy concerning God or spirituality is power. Power meaning love. Power meaning strength. Power meaning perfection. Okay? When I first got into this physical body and my mother tried to, you know, God bless her, she tried to bring me up in a, you know, a organized religion. Did not work. Didn't work, didn't work, didn't work. Why? Because I didn't resonate with what they were teaching. Now, this probably isn't uncommon for some people, but I really didn't resonate with it. Because how I was perceiving how they were teaching it, that God was something to be feared. And I was like, I couldn't fear God. Why should I do that? That didn't make any sense. So if God is perfection, God created everything, God created me, then I must be perfect too. Because perfection cannot create imperfection. It doesn't make sense.
Mm.
When you really put your mind to it, it doesn't make sense. So, and if you're, and it's, what's really fun about this is when you talk, I talk with people about this in group settings, and to see the look of struggle on their face as they try to wrap around this concept because they have all of these conditioned beliefs coming up that are arguing my point. And I'm just saying, look, you're loved, you're beautiful, you're perfect. Isn't it strange how you don't accept that about yourself? And you wonder why you have these issues about yourself and in your life at the same time.
Right.
You know,
right.
So, okay, so just playing with the God piece, you know, you're perfect, your own natural energy is power, is divinity. So that means if I'm perfect, then people that I view are perfect. And that means there are all of these divine creatures of love intelligence that I can learn from. And hey, you want to clear some more of your own personal baggage? Here's another thought that I have in my head. You know what? I don't have to prove you wrong for me to be right.
That's huge for most people.
Because look at how we've been trained in our society. We've been trained to, you know, point to this person and say, this is wrong, don't do this. Point to this and say, this is wrong, too. It's like, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what spirituality is. Well, guess what? If God is in everything, and if God created everything, don't you think there might be some glorious expression that God is just experimenting and exploring with himself to say that, oh, this is good? You know, because understand this. If you are in a loving state, if you are expressing love to the best of your ability, love only recognizes love. You don't see things as good or bad. You just see everything, and you go, oh, this is beautiful. How wonderful this is. you know, my rules, I make them up. These are the thoughts that kept me out of the really good schools. I mean, okay, so just, you know, just keep that in mind here, okay, because these are my rules. I make them up. They work for me. I'm not trying to impress them upon anyone, but hey, you know what? I'm having fun with myself. I'm having fun with my life, and you can have fun with yourself in your life, too.
Well, I honor you for saying that because I'm a firm believer on when we start going what I call down the rabbit hole.
Sure, yeah.
You go as far as you choose to go. What feels comfortable to me might not feel comfortable to somebody else. And, you know, what I was kind of saying at the top of the hour, perception is everything. So it is a genuine, you know, like, because I'm going to call you Jeffrey because I love the idea that it's free. Because I asked Jeffrey at the beginning of the hour before we came in, you know, can I call you Jeff? And he was like, sure, no problem. But as soon as you gave that, you know, that analog of your name, I like the idea of supporting freedom. Freedom for me is a very, very, it's been a focus of mine for a very long time. So I'm almost thinking of calling myself Golden Free, but I don't know that I'm going to go. But what
I like a product you see on, like, you know, one of those commercial shows or something like that.
I just like supporting your freedom because by supporting
right.
your freedom, I support mine.
Right.
But what I want to tell people is the perception that he's saying about everything's beautiful, when you're genuinely in an unconditionally loving state, there really is unconditional love for the murderer as well as the murdered, for the ugly and the beautiful. You really start understanding that it's one stream of energy, two sides of the coin. You can't, in this dimension, have beauty without having its polar opposite in this dimension. I mean, it's just, it's a scientific impossibility. So I support what you say because from my perception, it's truth, and I wanted to support that. So, okay.
No, that's fine. That's right. I appreciate that, too.
Yeah.
And also looking at that, too, for as far as the contrast, you know, within looking about all of these things that I'm playing with here and that we're going to be talking about with my book, I'm using my emotions as, you know, the best and finest key that I can ever have because when I listen to my emotions, they tell me what things mean to me. And because my emotions give me certain feelings, and because of those feelings, if they feel good or if they feel bad, then I can change them.
Yeah.
You know, so we all have that freedom to do so.
Yeah.
And also take a look at this, too, when you're looking at things that are being shared or taught within our culture, spiritual, educational, doesn't make a difference what it is, okay? When you are hampered and, you know, for as far as limitations, for as far as teachings are concerned. Well, you have this one teaching that says the ego is bad, and then you have this other teaching that says that these other things should be suppressed, and you should do this thing and not follow those particular teachings. This is wrong here. You know, any time that you're putting and you're saying something is wrong, you're not in that state of total acceptance or unconditional love. And what you're actually witnessing in those moments, in those states when you hear people talk like that,
right.
What you're witnessing is that con game of abuse. Now, I say that in this fact that every law that we have in this country is based on someone saying, I need you to perform this way so that I can feel secure. Now, that stemmed from the idea that they wanted to show you that you were born with original sin. I don't buy into that at all, that you were born imperfect, okay? Because guess what? If you believe that first lie, that first condition, that sets you up for all of the misery that you have experienced in your life thus far.
Agreed. I totally agree with that. Indeed.
And so you can take your own personal power right now, and it's your personal power. No one else has to agree with you. No one else has to even know about it. No one else has to approve of it but you. And you say, you know what? I'm going to express myself in a way that shows that I'm perfect. You know what? You know what? Ooh, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be my best friend. I'm gonna love me better than I ever imagined before. Ooh, that'd be nice. That'd be so cool. Because guess what? Oh, wow. If I love me, if I really love me the way that I want to be loved, I'm going to see that in other people. Oh, they're going to treat me the same way too. Ooh, and the ones that don't do that, they're either going to go away, which is going to be cool because they're going to make room for someone else to love me the way that I want to be loved, or they're going to change and love me too. And how cool is it when you can be in the other room, in another room with a person, and say, hey, I love the way that I love you. Oh, and then we can take each other off the hook. Because guess what? It's not up to you to make me happy. You know what? I'm responsible for my happiness. I can do this. I can make me happy. It's not your job anymore. You don't have to bring me flowers anymore. You don't have to sing me love songs. It's cool that you do, but you don't have to do it. You don't have to.
Right.
But I make me happy. Oh, and guess what? You make you happy too. Oh, so I guess that means when we get together, that means that we can just have fun loving each other because I'm going to take care of me for you and you can take care of you for me. Then when we get together, no baggage.
Yeah, no codependency.
Isn't that a cool way to live your life? How you can transform your thoughts about relationship. You can transform your thoughts about you.
Well, and you know what's funny? If you look at it, I mean, the culture, especially through the media of like movies and TV, the audio, the visual media, I mean.
Sure.
Holy moly, do they program the whole idea of, you know, it's not a good life unless you're married. You know, single people are pretty much doomed to, you know, I forget what movie it was. I think it was a Steve Martin movie way back when, you know, he walked into a restaurant and he said a place for one and, you know, the whole restaurant stopped and turned to look at him. You know,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Remember?
That's where he had that nose, where he had the long nose.
Oh, maybe that was the Cyrano de Bergerac movie. Right, okay. I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, it was just like, I mean, you could really see, you know, the subliminal idea that, you know, we just, you know, poo-poo the idea that we would be single and be happy.
Mm-hmm. And here, let's play with this, too, and this, since we're already on that track, and just talk about what that actually is.
Okay.
It's our emotional need. So I'm going to explain this, and I'll, you know, take my time to, you know, do this without the charts that I normally use. But just to give you a reference, this teaching comes from Jerry and Esther Hicks, and the book is called Ask and It Is Given. Now, this is something that's pulled from the Emotional Guidance Scale. Now, I'm going to be talking about our emotions, and basically, our emotions, we have all of these different names for our emotions that can be expressed, but basically it boils down to two emotions, one that feels good and one that feels bad, okay?
Okay.
Or if you want to switch those particular type of words, because it's not the words we use, it's how we feel as we use them. So the idea of good and bad is wanted and not wanted. So, okay, playing with my emotions and understanding what my emotions are telling you, because I define what life means to me. So I want the money in my bank account. I want the car. I want the house. I want the woman. I want the friends. I want the stature and status. And all of those things that I could want as I achieve those things, I'm going to use as an excuse to be happy, because we're trained and conditioned to think that it is the money in the bank account, the car, the woman, the person that you have in your relationship. Those are those outside things that make you happy. No, those things you use as an excuse to make you happy. It's your emotions, because you decide that I'm going to feel a certain way when I get this. You make that decision. Now, you made that decision by listening to other people, by listening to what their values were, and because you trusted them, God love them, they were doing their best to raise us, And they didn't tell us that, look, these are my rules and you can change them if you want. They said, no, these are the rules and this is how it is.
Right.
So you adopted other people's belief systems and you made them your own, and then you started stacking on your own experiences to their belief systems. And so as you're generating these emotions saying, well, I got to have this and I got to have this, and when you have our society looking at you and saying, well, if you don't do this, you're nothing. In fact, every product that is sold to us from the state of what I like to call lack attack. Because they tell you that if you don't have this, your life is nothing.
Right.
You need this ShamWow. I tell you, it's going to make cleaning so much easier. If you don't have this ShamWow, what's the matter with you? You're spending a fortune on disposable drying sheets. They use these big words, disposable drying sheets. They mean paper towels, ladies and gentlemen. It's paper towels. Disposable drying sheets. Okay, fine. Sure. Whatever to sell your product. But look, everything that they market to us is going along that line. It's going along this line of lack attack.
Jeffrey, I have to interrupt because you're on a superb path that because I want to interject. By the way, listeners, this also applies to the pharmaceutical companies.
Mm-hmm.
Because every product that they sell you has to, it is attached to because something's wrong with you. And that's a big pet peeve of mine. So I had to say that because, that's clearly not only a multi-billion, gazillion-dollar business. I mean, I see people actually hurting themselves. You know, they take a pill for this, and then, don't be surprised if there's blood coming out of your anal. It's like, people, that's not a healing. That's not, then you have to get the next pill or cream because that's happening. I mean, it's just one of my pet peeves, and as soon as you started talking about that, it triggered me like, that's exactly right. It's always about selling. It's rampant. It's a virus in this country right now, at least from my perspective. Anyways, I'm sorry. Please, Jeff, go on. I'm sorry.
No, it's good that you said that, too, because and that's another thing that I want to address, too. When you are functioning from a space of, everything's good and everything's fine, I'm not debating the fact or resisting the fact or bucking anybody that's making money. Okay, I'm not saying making money is bad.
Right.
I just understand how they are selling me things. And when they sold me things on, you need this product because this is going to help transform your life, and this is going to be the end all be all. It's like, look, I'll tell you flat out. And it's like, that's why they have so many books on love. That's how they have so many books on relationships. You know what? All of these are coming from everyone's own personal spin. They figured it out for themselves. And that's, I don't know if they share that with people, enough to just be honest with it, because you know what? We have a vast recipe of things in life that can bring us happiness. You know what? And this is the stuff that I put in my chili. Put it in yours, see if you like it. If you don't, that's fine.
Right.
So now, going back to your emotions and how they tell you what it is that you want and what it is that you like and love. Okay? So if I am defining the things that I want by these things that I have, and I use them as my excuse to feel happy, well, guess what? I don't need those things to feel happy. I can be happy first and then go along on to the same achievement to those things. I can happily achieve those things, but I know that my happiness is something that I generate. So
okay.
Now...
Can you help them understand how to separate from that belief?
Well, the belief, beautiful Goldie, a belief is just a thought that you keep thinking.
Mm.
That's all it is. Think about this. Going back to the first time that, you entered into this physical body, when you were a child, you knew everything that you needed to know to make your life work. You were happy, you were carefree, you wanted food, you opened the refrigerator, it was there, and, whatever the case was, whatever your life was, you were taken care of as a child. You knew exactly what you wanted to be happy, because guess what? The world was your playground. We didn't have the microphone, we had the hairbrush. We didn't have the toy gun. We had the yardstick, and we just played along those lines. So being a child, we knew exactly how to make our lives work. And then we were getting total acceptance, unconditional love, and then our caretakers, again, God bless them, then they came to us with the rules, and they smacked them with us. And they said, Jeffrey, to be a good boy, you got to start to do this, you got to do this way, you got to be like this, and you got to be like this. And so I'm like, cool, digging it. And, you know, because some of the rules that I was seeing, well, that's who I was. That's who I was choosing to be. And what's implied, but never said, is that if you aren't the person that I need you to be with these rules, then you're a bad person. Okay, so at that moment when we started to adopt the rules, that's when we started to look outside of ourselves for love, acceptance, and approval. And guess what? If you are in a bad mood, and I was just around you, and at that time, we were looking at each other with loving eyes. We were just totally in the bliss of the moment, and everything was just cool, and everything was just fun, and I went to go do something else, and you got a phone call or something. I don't know what happened, but you just switched. And then I come back, and then you're in a foul, funky mood, and you're looking at me with these eyes of foul and funkiness. And I'm like, what did I do? What's wrong? You're not looking at me with those loving eyes. And so now I'm not feeling loving about me. And now I'm thinking, oh, my God, I must have did something wrong. Right. Oh, what can I do to please you? And I start jumping through hoops. And do you know how hard it is to please somebody when they want to be in a bad mood?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. It is quite challenging. Yes, that's...
But that's how it happens.
Right, they invite the fight. That's very, because normally the bad mood wins.
Right, because that's the given default. Okay, that's the place where they trained us to be. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just, I like to call it the man manipulation conditioning, the big lie. You know, now that I'm jumping through all of these hoops for you, can I do this for you? Can I do this? Can I get to this? Can I get to this? And then we learn that it's our job to please other people, and it's not.
Right.
They want us to think that so that, again, they can have some form of control over us, a control that we will willingly submit to, knowingly and sometimes unknowingly, depending on how we are thinking about ourselves.
Right.
They call it self-esteem because it is the esteem of ourselves. We do it to ourselves. How can somebody else make us feel bad about the way we think about us? Think about that for a moment, please.
Say that again.
How can somebody else make us feel bad about the way we think about us? Because I control how I think about me. I say that I'm a good person. Somebody can say, no, you're not. You're a bad person because you didn't do this for me. And then if we are thinking that we are flawed, we have this hole, we are not complete, then we can sometimes co-sign on this contract of suffering that they want to give us. And we go, you're right, I'm a bad person because I didn't make you happy. How can you make them happy? How can you make them happy when it's a feeling that they generate? Happiness is an inside job.
Yes, I like that one.
Now, going with your emotions, since the money, the car, the woman, the relationship, I don't care who you have in your life, you're using them as an excuse to feel happy. Now, if you will accept that idea, then this next part is really going to free up a lot of stuff for you. Now, if you accept the first part, this next part, this makes the idea of loss laughable, because there is no such thing as loss. How can you lose something when everything that you will have in your life will be a reason for you to feel good? So that means you can't lose a feeling when you generate it.
Well, wait a minute, though. Can it shift? It could shift from the inside.
It's all on the inside.
Right, it is all on the inside.
it's the idea and the concept of loss, because it's like, just like I said, if
that's abandonment. Okay. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. And going with this too, this idea of loss. I mean, because again, this is the universal. You can play with this here. Abandonment. What? When we think that we are, that someone has left us, then let's play with that. Let's go right to it.
Okay.
If someone has left us, we think that we are not, because that question comes from the old school thinking, the old school conditioning, that you need something outside of you to make you happy. So just understand where that question comes from.
Right.
Old school thinking. So abandonment. Oh, I'm with somebody, they left me. I feel hurt. Okay, you can choose to feel hurt by what someone has done to you. Totally your choice. Okay? But, or I should say, and, you can also understand that because someone left you, you use that as an excuse to feel bad. So, you still generated that emotion. You generate it all, the positive and the negative emotions. So the abandonment, if you know that you are whole, and it's right in my book too, we'll just go right to it. If you are a whole person, now the whole I'm speaking of first off is thinking that you're incomplete, that you're missing a part, that you have something that needs to be filled. H-O-L-E, you are a person that's walking around with a hole.
Oh, okay, so, okay.
Okay, you with me?
I am when
okay.
You spelt it, okay.
Right, and see, we'll get into that too. Spelled that way, you have this idea that there's a hole, something's missing, there's a gap.
Right.
So now, what I'm talking about is you functioning from your whole beingness. So you're a whole, W-H-O-L-E. You are complete, and you are inwardly complete. So, playing with the word incomplete again, I flipped it for me. Incomplete does not mean that I'm missing something. Incomplete means that I have everything that is within. The kingdom of heaven is within me. Ooh, everything that I need is within. And guess what? That's how I came to that emotional correlation that everything that I'm going to want in life is going to be an excuse for me to generate a feeling. It is going to be an excuse for me to think a good thought about me that gives me peace. No one can take this away from me because I don't care what other people think about me. What matters is what I think about me. Not everything that I'm saying is to the contrary of what society teaches us.
Right.
So this makes me the freak. In some cases, in some circles, this makes me the super freak, you know, that they go, wow, he's weird. You know, but it's not that I'm weird. It's just, I'm Jeff. I love what I'm doing. I love me. And this is how I do it. You know, my daddy was a pistol, and I'm a son of a gun. I'm sorry. That's just how it is.
I'll tell you, audience, you got to read the book, too, because I don't know if you just got what he was saying without the visual, but the word incomplete, he is breaking it into the word in and then separated complete. So incomplete is really about telling us how complete we are within. I just wanted that clarified. So
that's exactly it.
Yeah.
You know, and again too, that also plays on, you know, this, you know, my nickname is Hot Chocolate, so when I'm referring to things, I call things a chocolate truth just to, you know, just to use the humor to get through people's filters.
Okay.
You know, and as you can see, or and as you can feel through what I'm saying, that you've heard these words before, but the way that I'm speaking them,
yes,
the way that you're feeling them is completely different.
Yeah.
And so this gives you that opportunity to have a fresh new experience with your life, with how you understand things, because I'm not saying anything that you don't know. You, on a soul level, know it. You, on an intellectual level, know it. But you might not have put it into practice for whatever reason. And I'm just saying that you can change your reasons and you can use the things that you currently think of that are holding you back. And you can take those same thoughts and use them as your excuse to be successful. Because guess what? You don't have to believe everything you think. Okay. I'm going to say that again. You don't have to believe everything you think.
Hey, listen, I'm a talk show host now. Tread lightly there, young man.
Mm-hmm.
Only joking. Go ahead.
I know, but think about this. You don't have to believe everything you think, especially if it's detrimental. Especially if it's detrimental.
Oh, good job. All right, I gotcha.
You see what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
Because you can use things as your excuse to feel good. And notice this. If you're thinking a thought that doesn't feel good, if you're thinking about somebody in a way that's that gives you pain, if you're functioning from the victim mentality, then guess what? You're going to get more of those same emotions and feelings and experiences because a victim needs someone to victimize them.
Right.
And so if you're still playing along those lines, you're going to keep finding people that will, you know, train you to be a victim. And you don't want to do that. So if it's detrimental and you're thinking it, you don't have to believe everything that you think. You can think wonderful thoughts about you. You can think wonderful thoughts about your life. And guess what? When you take full control of your responsibility, when you take control of your response ability, you don't have to respond the way that you have because you'll keep getting those same things that you're getting. When you change your response ability, you don't have to believe everything that you think, and you short-circuit that whole victim mentality, and you go, I just want to think a thought that feels good. And guess what? You do, you're on track, that's the right thing to do for you at that time. These are the things that I talk about in my book that give you more conscious control to be your own best friend, to take control of your life. And guess what? You don't have to tell anybody that you did it.
Right.
Because they're just going to notice it by what you're doing.
Well, can I give an example? I'm a big firm believer that visuals and parables help people understand concepts.
Sure.
One of my biggest thing is I have been single, unmarried all of my life, and I can remember a time when I was 30 years old, and I was like, I was bent on finding a husband. I mean, it was like, I was one of those scary people on the first date that was like, you know, kind of had a little mental checklist that was going, okay, you know, are they good with kids, or do they have a potential career ahead of them? Well, and what ended up, of course, happening was ultimately I started understanding that my belief system was I would not be happy unless I had a husband. I mean, that I started clearly seeing how from my mother to her grandmother to how it was passed down that I have to take care of somebody, that in order to be happy, I have to be married, white picket fence, 1.7, you know, children, whatever.
Right, right.
You know, and as I started becoming, you know, getting up in my 30s, and I literally went, okay, I was exhausted from all the online dating, all trying to find love where it might not have been generated necessarily naturally. I was like, you know, forcing the square peg in the round hole, and it literally hit me. I said, what if we change, Goldie? Instead of you have to be married to find love, you know, you can just start looking about what's around you that's loving. And I had friends.
Mm-hmm.
I had family, you know, biological family. I had my pets. I've learned that nature, being in the woods, I can't even tell you the love I feel from the trees. I mean, I tell you, I go deep down the rabbit hole. But the truth is, it was like as soon as I started going, stop putting this into one little thing, a husband equals happiness, a husband equals love, and that's what it was.
Right.
A husband equals love. I found that I am so abundant in love that to this day, I will tell you, those, my soul family, my family of light, not necessarily my blood family, but my family of light, are hands down the most incredible, important people to me. They have helped me, and I don't want to say serve because that gives a bad impression because this is all about words, supported me for the last decade. I could not have done it without them. I am so incredibly grateful and genuinely in love with many men and women on the planet right now, including your girlfriend. And I know this is a family show, but what I'm saying is I opened up to love being not in the one thing that the media was telling me was where I was going to find it, but where it actually already existed in my life. It already existed as friends and nature and pets. That was already there. And when I didn't perceive it to be there, I didn't even notice it. So I just wanted to share that.
Right. And that's so wonderful, too, because, again, from Huna Wisdom, the quote is, where your attention goes, energy flows. And so now get this, too. I guess it's from another teacher friend of mine.
Okay.
He equated it this way. So if love equals attention, and if your attention is on misery, then, oh, my friend, at this moment you must be in love with your misery.
Right.
Because this is what you keep giving yourself. And just like you, I was at a moment in my life where I was like, okay, Jeff, for as far as relationships and stuff were concerned, what is it that you're looking for? What is it that you really, 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 really want? And I'm like, okay, wait. For as far as love is concerned, I know I have people that love me. I have my friends, my family. I know I have people that I can go to a movie with.
Right.
I know that I have people that I could go to dinner with. I know I have people that I can do stuff with. So, you know, for as far as this whole love thing, Jeff, you're getting all so confused and so wrapped up and so depressed. What is it that you really want? And bottom line, it boiled down to sex. And I was like, oh, it's just sex. That's what I was looking for. I was equating sex to equal love. Duh. Okay. Sex is a form of love. Don't get me wrong, because you know, we're human creatures and we're animals and we just have this need and desire. But again, that's part of the three vexes of our
culture. No, let's talk about
our culture.
Yes.
Yes, let's talk about sex, okay?
Let's talk about sex.
Yes. Okay, because now we just went right over money, going right to sex, you know, because then we'll go back to money, because after we had sex, then the money will be exchanged. Okay, no, but really, okay, let's play with this, okay? Sex, in my mind, is a twofold punch. Now, sex concerning your own natural energy, meaning that you're powerful, strong, and perfect. Sex stands for a sacred energy exchange.
Okay. S-E-X.
Sacred, yeah. Sacred energy exchange.
Okay.
Everything about your life is a sacred energy exchange. We just have all of these rules that say it has to be a certain way. It has to be monetary. It has to be, you know, whatever the case may be.
Size
not as far as
two.
Right.
The truth. I mean, sex can't be had with a woman who's perhaps a little rotund, because that would be no good.
I
beg to differ on that one. Thank you very much. Yes.
Right. And again, that's playing off the idea that, you know, this is what perfect is, and if you're not this, then you're just not worthy.
Right.
But again, that whole concept of being worthy is looking outside of yourself for love, acceptance, and approval. So now with sex being a sacred energy exchange, well, that's this whole conversation that we're having here. That's the smile that you pass on to another person.
Oh.
That's you knowing that you're sacred, knowing that you are of love, knowing that you are perfect, knowing that you are a sovereign being. Okay, that when you function that way, you see others that way, and you want nothing more than to love them, than to share with them, than to be with them, than to express joy. Okay, that's your natural state. They've conditioned us to believe that, you know, going unchecked, we will, you know, just do terrible, terrible things, just terrible things. Well, guess what? You know what? The only time that we've ever done anything that was deemed terrible, bad, it was because we were bucking the system, because they weren't letting us be who we wanted to be.
That's
and so to be the rebel, we went against your own personal rules, and then you said we were bad, when we were just saying, let me be me.
Well said, indeed.
So with this sacred energy exchange, it's your whole life. You know, and even with the actual physical act of sex, okay, this is something where two people get together, and it's the dance of the souls. This is where My rules, I make them up. This is where you say, I love you for who you are, no matter what. And you just are in this embrace. You're in this state of mind that you are divine and that you can, you feel the tingles that you give yourself as you're touching this person. You love the way that they smell. You love the way that they touch you. You are love being expressed in this act. So love is recognizing love. How beautiful is that? Now that's something to get primed up for. Excuse me, I need some water. It's getting kind of hot in here.
I was about to say, feel free to light cigarettes out there.
Right. Turn on the fans on. This is hot. This don't make no sense. Okay. But understand that that is a sacred energy exchange in that physical act. Now, anything that someone can present that's other than that, that's not what I'm talking about, okay? And I'm talking about this place of where you have absolute freedom. Because, again, we as human beings are so free that we have chosen bondage, and we don't recognize how bonded that we have become in our thoughts. How we have restricted ourselves by our suppressing our emotions. And all of this comes from the fact that what I'm thinking is not valid, something's wrong with me, somebody help me. Rather than going, how can I understand me better? How can I think about this same situation so that it doesn't give me pain? What's perfect about this situation that I don't see? You see how I just give myself more excuses to be happy than I do to make myself upset and sad?
Absolutely.
Because I was that person. Okay, you got to understand, I didn't have to go through all of that pain to be where I was. Well, you know, we could say solely we did that. But, you know, now that I know what I know, I'll never go through all of that stuff ever again. Because I knew that the love that I wanted to be, the love that I was expressing, and when I was with the person that I thought they were it, I wanted to make them the one for me. Understand what I said there? I wanted to make them the one. It is you. I know it. Don't you understand? I love you. Don't make me do this. You know, all of those arguments, all of that stuff, I was trying to make somebody something that they weren't. And get this, I was trying to be somebody that I wasn't.
Right.
That was really making sense there. Not at all. So love doesn't do what I was doing to that person. And love didn't do what they were doing to me. And so on my reflection of that, I was like, oh, wow. We were just trying to, you know, we made our relationship work rather than allowing our relationship to work. Feel the difference in that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, this is such a concept that, you know, to have both people applying it, you know, you can really see the potential of, I don't know if you're familiar with a mystic named Osho. But
yes, I'm familiar with him.
I resonate very deeply with his writings just about, life becomes a dance. It's a dance in the moment, and, you know, it's really about, you're always in love with that person, but the dance might take you to, you know, into other dance floors or with other partners, and I don't advocate that, and I don't condone it. I just simply say that when people are genuinely loving self, there's the fears and the restrictions, which are, it's unbelievable how deep they run in our experiences. And when you start becoming aware of those experiences, because if one person is in this space in the relationship, but the other person is still in that fearful space, it's like a chasm the size of the Grand Canyon really becomes created within that relationship.
Sure. And it'll stay that way, too, as long as they are, you know, as you're saying, looking outside of themselves for love, acceptance, and approval, or they're in that state of fear about, and guess what that, and, you know, that's in my book, too.
Okay.
All of my ideas and concepts, the reason why I wrote the book was to show people that how I'm thinking, what I'm believing, what I'm doing, it's not fear-based. A lot of things that are out there spiritual, they're coming from a fear-based teaching. They're coming from that victim mentality. You know what? I don't subscribe to that, because when I did subscribe to that, that still got me nothing more than pain. There are so many wounded healers that are out there that thinking that there is so much suffering that they need to do to find a gift. Let me tell you something. There is no gift in your suffering.
Right, right.
You didn't come here for the pain.
Right.
And so with my book and what I believe, I get away from the fear-based teachings. And I'm not knocking anyone, because guess what? Every teaching that is out there, it works. But it works from the fact that you decide that is going to work for you. Let me tell you something. It's not any particular ritual that you may do. One is more powerful than the other. Because if you are the catalyst, then what is actually happening is that you make a decision that this particular ritual is going to give you more self-empowerment. That ritual does nothing more than ground you in the decision that you made before you started the ritual.
Right, right. The ritual is really just a symbol of your choosing it.
Yep, and it's a symbol of you being empowered in that moment and thinking those thoughts of empowerment and being in that state of empowerment as you go throughout the rest of your day. And as you understand that you are complete inside, that you are a perfectly loving human being, that you are God in motion. You are perfection in self-expression.
Yeah.
And it's all good, baby. It is all good.
It is all good. Okay, so we have a couple of minutes before we're going to take a break. So, but I want to make sure that we're, because I really like the way you, I really like the way you talked about sex, baby. Well, because
did you like it?
I really liked it. Well, I'm a firm believer that sexuality is, when only focused on sexuality. When we lose the essence of sensuality, sexuality becomes just two-dimensional. It's hot, it's cold, it's hard, it's soft. When you add sensuality, there is it literally opens up like massive dimensions. That's why it's not about, you know, just being touched, but it's about the energy behind the touch and the intention behind the touch, which is, I think, a lot of what you're saying about the whole sacred energy exchange, that when there's freedom, that we don't have to reach a climax the way, you know, quote unquote, the movies show, and you know, the movies with, you know,
sure,
certain
mm-hmm.
letters, but you know, there's so
sure.
much conditioning that, you know, oh, you know, I didn't climax. There's a failure in that experience. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. That's like saying I don't have love because I don't have a significant other. That is such a limiting thinking thought, whatever, a limited belief, because, I mean, from myself, just being touched like in a tickle rub absolutely drives me bonky birds. I mean, I love it. I mean, it has nothing to do with erogenous zones. It's just the sensation of the goosebumps and the exchange of the energy, literally, from that person to me. And I know, because, you know, I have a very dear person in my life that, I mean, for hours he would rub my body, and I was so satisfied in that space. It was just an exquisite dance. And you know, a lot of people are like, hey, you know, it's got to make it to, you know, the screaming and the, you know, the oohs and the ahs. And,
sure.
And I'm not saying that space isn't awesome as well, but there can be awesomeness in much more expanded areas that can take you into just as many expanded spaces when you choose to let that belief take you there. When,
exactly.
You know, so
and see, that's one of the things too. And before we go, real quick too, I just want you to recognize. I want you to recognize too, that thought, that whole place that you went to, look at where that came from, you know, and understand that the other things that you were using as an example are kind of a spot of looking at resistance. And guess what? That's part of that idea of that, you know, I don't have to prove the other person wrong for me to be right. And knowing that since it's all a secret energy exchange, they can do what they want. We are figuring out what's right for us.
Oh, wow.
We are figuring out what is delicious to us, what is exquisite to us. And since I don't have to make you wrong for me to be right, you do what's good for you. I'm going to do what's good for me. We're both going to be feeling good and pass the pie.
Listen, I want to talk more about this when we come back from the break, okay? Because
sure.
Resistance is clearly something that if people have an understanding, I believe it's easier to shift when they're aware of it as opposed
sure.
to when it's subliminal. All right, so let's do our promos, and we will be right back.
Elmeen's classes have no curriculum or specific format. There are no predictable topics. The reason is that this remarkable mystic provides an unparalleled transfiguring experience, most certainly not to be encountered anywhere else on Earth. Elmeen has been given the most sacred task of assisting the infinite to usher in Earth's ascension. Everyone in these classes share in executing assignments from the infinite. Information beyond students' wildest dreams pours in, and those who enter the classes as students leave as masters who have silenced the dialogue of their minds. To learn more about this amazing mystic and teacher, visit www.spiritualjourneys.com. Elmeen will be in New York on Friday, September 11th through Sunday, September 13th, 2009. For more information on how to register for this profound class and for hotel accommodations, visit www.elmeeninnewyork.com. That's ALMEINNEWYORK.com. Or call Golden Hawk at area code 203-847-5787. Music provided by Music Alley. Music provided by Music Alley from Mevio. Thanks, guys.
Oops, I guess I hit that one too many times. Well, thank you, Music Mevio, for providing music by Music Alley. Yeah, that was cool. Thank you for allowing us the time and space to promote that. But I was liking where you were going once again, Jeff. The resistance. I mean, why is it people don't even recognize the beliefs is what is keeping them from enjoying themselves? I don't understand that. I mean, from my own experiences, I'm like, why not be open to these things?
Well, and that's the point right there, because again, between a belief and a knowing. A belief, again, is just a thought that you keep thinking. A belief is you're taking somebody else's opinion for it with no direct experience. Now, a knowing is you have your own direct experience.
Right.
You know what it's like, because check this out. You know what it's like to be hugged, and you know that hugs feel great. They feel good. They feel wonderful. You got the endorphins going, and it's just, nice stuff. And then somebody says to you, you know, hugs are a terrible thing. I really believe hugs are terrible. I just can't. Oh, those are so bad.
Right.
And you hear them and you go, what are you smoking? You know, because it's like your knowing is different. Okay, because you know. Your knowing is different than their belief.
Right.
And guess what? When you go for your own direct knowing, that overrides anybody else's belief on everything. Because you are certain with what you are feeling. And your certainty overrides anyone else's doubt on any subject.
Right, right. Well, and you know what I'm getting right now, which is so funny, I need more acceptance that it is in divine order. Everything is in perfection. If their resistance is perfection for them in that moment. And I need to accept their belief for them in that moment, because the truth is, I have chosen, like you, long ago to walk sideways when the rest of the crowd was going straight. I mean, I just clearly got that these are crazy beliefs. I mean, this is it's ludicrous to me, some of the things that working in a cubicle, you know, things of that nature. And I honor the people that do it, but for me, it was ludicrous. Like, if I am not around trees or and or in nature of some kind, you know, at least 5 hours a day, just about, I would go, you know, I'd go berserk. I just knew things for myself that, you know, early on, it really, I have been called crazy and, you know, all sorts of negative things. And I mean, I accepted that, but my resistance always came up with, why don't you see the beauty of the freedom? That's why I never could quite grasp, but you really bring it to a forefront, because the truth is, if you've never had the experience, it appears like lunacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the people that are dancing to their own rhythm seem insane by the people that can't hear the music.
Right.
You know, so it's like,
yeah.
I mean, that's
really...
I've never
seen that so clearly as I do right now, so thank you for that.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the fun part. And again, look at how you've come to this realization. Because you've allowed me to be on your show, because of my particular nature, because I'm playing, look at what's happening for you. Look at all of the realizations, the new, exciting realizations that are happening for you, because you're taking it easy, you're making it fun, and you're going, damn, I didn't realize I was thinking that way. And you see how quickly you can find those limiting patterns and then decide to change them.
Yeah.
And it's not like you have to go through any type of suffering to do so. You just have to decide to do it. You know, and going back to this, go back to the God, money, sex dynamic here.
Okay.
And since we were talking about sex, and then let's jump back up to money, and I'll give you this idea for as far as money is concerned, because just as you were saying, people that are working in a cubicle, you know, I worked in a cubicle for a bit, and I made money at it. Didn't like it. Could not do it. Did not fit my personality. So with the idea of money being my own natural energy, you make money in accordance with your personality. You know, Sidney Poitier said in his book, Measure of a Man, that you don't have to become something that you're not to be better than who you are.
Oh, excellent.
And I added on to that saying that you don't have to become something that you're not to make the money that you desire. Because check this out. Only the people that really, really show up and say, this is who I am, this is what I do, they get exuberant amounts of money. And there's money enough for everyone. Everybody can have as much money as they desire. No one's going to go without money, because money is like air. If I have $20, that does not stop you from getting $20 yourself. Okay? So just because I have 20 doesn't mean you can't get 50. And just because you have 50 doesn't mean I can't get 100. And it just keep going back and forth. There is money to be made by your personality. You can make money by being who you are. In fact, that's when you do. Because I am outgoing, I am outrageous, I am Jeff being happy, and people call me personal development coach, people call me public speaker, people call me a performer, but they're just seeing Jeff, and they, you know, they give me money because I'm a massage therapist too, and it's like, you know, I am just being Jeff, and people are paying me to be who I am.
Right.
How cool is that?
Yes.
We pay people in just an unbelievable amount of money to play games, baseball, basketball, hockey, whatever. The whole Olympics is based on people playing games. Ping pong! Ping pong! And I can get a gold medal? And you're going to call me the greatest of all time when I'm playing ping pong?
Right.
Look at how in life we are conditioned by playing our games. We decide on what we're going to be when we decide to grow up. And, you know, growing up is, you know, optional for me. But check this out.
Me too.
Right. We have people that make $20 million a movie by playing someone else.
Right.
They're playing somebody else. And they're making all this money because they like to play different people. They like to be people that are other than them. So by playing cowboys, Indians, mad doctors, and scientists, and superhero, you know, you can make lots of money in that, because people go, wow, look at him. I believe what I'm seeing. He is really that character. And we give them that money on that basis. They are making money in alignment with their personality. They are making money with their own natural energy. And that's how it happens. That's where the abundance can come from. You can be abundant when you are being authentic, not trying to be something that you're not. You know, the law of attraction that's out there is made popular by, you know, any and everyone that's, you know, catching on to this wave. But Jerry and Esther, you know, for as far as I'm concerned, they, you know, were the pioneers of it, you know, and it's not old stuff. It's just for as far as our consciousness is concerned, because even within the ancient teachings, as you're studying the law of attraction, the ancient teachings are talking along those lines. You're just not recognizing it within their language.
Right, right. Well,
you know,
before we go on to Esther and what's her, Esther's husband?
Jerry.
I kept wanting to say Jeffrey. I'm like, no, it's Jerry. Jeff, what you just said about money, and I've been on radio for almost 3.5 years. I think what you just said about money and the way you said it was the clearest and most powerful manifesting way I've heard. On my show, anyways. And I know Jerry and Esther, and I love Jerry and Esther. I'm not saying that the whole Abraham, I'm a big channeling, you know, I follow many of the channelers. But what you just said just absolutely resonated about being who you are, expressing who you are, sharing who you are, and you cannot not be successful at that. I believe it's an impossibility.
Right.
You know, because when people say to me all the time, you know, how many listeners do you have on the show? I don't know. You know, how many sponsors do you have? And it's like, I don't. And they're like, well, what are you doing to create that? It's like, I'm not. I do this because I'm in absolutely the deepest passion I can be in, physically talking about anything spiritual, and then to have great, you know, I get to meet great people like you and your girl and Almeen and whoever. It doesn't even – I meet great people because – and I meet great people who were – it started off with the people in my neighborhood – that are the Reiki masters and the life coaches. Those were the original guests on my show, and I never felt like the show wasn't beautiful back then. You know, it's
right.
Like, it's because people say to me all the time, but what are you doing too? And I'm like, I'm not even focusing on that. And just,
right.
There's a knowing inside me, I swear to God, there's a knowing inside me that there will be some day where I will have the listening audience of the same numbers that Howard Stern has.
Sure.
I know that. And they're like, well, how are you going to do that? I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to attract it.
Mm-hmm.
By having guests like you, by, you know what I mean? By being authentic, because that word authentic, when you use that word, I don't know if you've broken that up in any beautiful, magical way, but that word just tickles my soul. I love that word. Love that word. And I had to interrupt because I wanted you to know that because I've heard a lot of people on the shows with the whole manifesting gig. And like you said earlier, I really do believe they come from fear, and nothing you just said was fearful. It was absolutely in alignment with who I am. And, you know, namaste, my friend. I honor that.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, and that's how I needed it for me, because, again, these are my rules. I make them up. And that's what my life has shown me. That when I say, here's what I want, bottom line, and I get this from another one of my friends, Mike Dooley, who's a, you know, I call him friend because it feels like I know him. I listen to some of his work, and he's just another great public speaker.
Okay.
And he boiled down the things that he wanted from the universe like this. He wants, and I just adopted it for myself, he wants wealth and abundance, fun and friends, international travel, and creative and fulfilling work.
Oh, nice list.
That's it.
Nice.
Now, if that's it, and going by the teachings that are out there, that what I was originally stating with the law of attraction, it's not that you can attract those things that you want, and you can get those things that you don't have yet, but understand that with the law of attraction, you are attracting what you are.
Yes.
Not what you want.
Yes.
So, once you understand what you are attracting, then you can make that little mental shift and then go, okay, I want to be more of this type of vibration. And vibration / feeling. Because guess what? If everything that I want is 99% done before I see it, Richard Bach said this so eloquently in his book called Illusions. He said, the is has imagined it even better than you have. Meaning that the universe, meaning that God's source energy, whatever you want to call it, has taken everything and it knows exactly what you want, and it synthesizes and brings everything of like energy to your perfection, to the level that you are willing to allow. You have the wealth and abundance that you are currently allowing to come into your life. You have the love and romance that you are currently allowing into your life. And you can say, Jeff, I don't have much.
No, because I got it. Can I give another example? You spur me. I don't know. This is a family show, Goldie. Keep your family. Okay, yeah. Because what you just said, I'm living what you're saying. That's why I'm resonating this so much. Prior to being on the air in any capacity, whether Blog Talk Radio or when I was in Providence, not once in my life did I ever state as an intention, I intend to be on radio. Never thought of it, never dreamed of it, never visualized it. And when that opportunity came to my door, literally, through a personal ad to meet somebody to date, not to go on a job interview to become on the air. Mm-hmm. As soon as he said to me, listen, I'm putting together some spiritual radio shows. Are you interested? I mean, Jeff, like the skies opened up and, you know,
Yep.
But it's exactly what you just said, because it knew. I had been talking to people in my church and not on the podium. I mean, I'm talking about after church is over and everybody's eating cake and crumpets, mm-hmm. I'm blabbing my philosophies. And you know, I could get a couple of people hanging out around me and going, wow, Goldie, you know, that's pretty fascinating stuff. And people would come over to my house and just be sitting around waiting for my brother. And, you know, I'm blabbing their ear off for the last 45 minutes. So the idea of a radio show was like literally like, oh, my God, that's perfect. But the key that I tell people all the time is I never intended it. So where did it come from?
Mm-hmm.
And clearly it came from something bigger than me. But as soon as it showed up, I mean, no hesitation. And when I say no hesitation, I grabbed it, but I was such a mess when I was first on the air. I used to tell people if something's worth doing, it's worth doing well. And I'd say, mm-hmm. scratch that. If something's worth doing, it's worth doing poorly. Because I sucked at radio hosting when I first did it. But I knew in order to get better, I just had to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get better because it was really all based on fear. I would just stop breathing and stop talking.
Not
very good for the air. But so that is exact, because I can't even imagine my life without radio now. And then the beauty of it is when it all disappeared in Rhode Island, Blog Talk Radio, a free internet radio for radio show hosts. I mean, are you kidding me? This is a dream come true for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just exquisite. And I wanted to share that exactly what you said is absolutely how it happened to me.
Right. And that's how the universe provides it to us.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
Because when we are in that state of yes, when we say yes to who we are, when we say yes to the things that we love about ourselves, the universe goes, oh, yeah, you're worthy. You can have that. Yeah. Why can you have that? Because you said so. Here you go. And that's how it happens. That's how it works. I mean, because you can, and again, what I'm saying is not something that you don't know, but even if you did know it, guess what? Your life, through what I'm saying, is showing you how you've lived your life by what I'm saying is valid. So it is not my words that are teaching, but the life experience that you have had that is resonating and is calling forth and recognizing with what I'm saying.
Well, but you would need absolute ability to be transparent. You have to be able to look at your life truthfully when you're knee deep in caca.
Right. And
because
when you look
if you're creating it, people are going to go, no, I wouldn't create this for myself.
Right.
How would you address that? Can we address that a little? Or?
Sure. Yeah, we can. We can go right to that. Yeah, I wouldn't create this for myself, you know, because again, I didn't want all of the bad relationships that I was in. Why in the hell would I do that, you know? But I did it. And I recognized the fact that I was trying to be something, and I was trying to make somebody something for me that they didn't want to be.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I was inauthentic. I was not being the happy Jeff that I wanted to be. And guess what? The other person that was viewing the happy Jeff saying that, wait a minute, I can change him. I can make him to be what I need. And as I was resisting that, you know, that's where the stuff was coming up, because I was bucking the system. Because again, anytime you buck the system or anytime that you give somebody a hard time, you are looking at yourself in a negative light. And because you are looking at yourself and feeling that you're not worthy, feeling that you're bad, you're lashing out because the God source loving energy that created you does not agree with you on that.
Right.
And that's why you feel alone. Because the God source energy that created you, I imagine it would be like this. When you quiet your mind and you listen to that voice, it says to you, my dear one, how I love to see you. How I love to watch you grow. You know what? It's been such a joy to be here for you. And I want you to know that I'm always going to be here for you. And guess what? There is nothing that you could do that is ever, ever going to make me stop loving you. So now, go ahead and play. I'll be right here, right with you. Anytime that you think that you're alone, just know that you're not. Know that I see you. Know that I hear you. And know that I am love. That I created you, that you are love, and that you are perfect. Enjoy. That's how I would imagine.
That's
my rules, I make them up.
You got a hot voice in your head, my friend.
That's why they call me hot chocolate. No,
yeah,
okay.
Indeed. Hey, I forgot. Okay, wait a minute, though. I want you to address one other thing, because I like the way you talk and I get these visuals. And I also like to – visuals, I think, are very good for people when they're listening to a voice, when they become into these visuals. Talk about what is someone doing unconsciously or whatever when they're creating a job that is not fulfilling their desires. Like you spoke just now of the relationship. Can you speak on that?
For as far as the job, or for as far as, you know, again, going back to the money thing.
Okay.
The idea of work, you know, I stated that, you know, you make money in alignment with your personality. You put me into an accountant's office, not going to work.
Right.
Okay. So you have all of these areas that people say, well, you can make money at this, you can make money at this, and finances and real estate and blah, 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 and all of these different things. And it takes hard work. And they equate hard work to making money. But here's the key for me. The difference between work and play. Work means you can't play, you gotta be serious as you're making money. And then playing means that it's just free time, you're just lollygagging around. But guess what? There are people that are playing games that are making a crazy amount of money. So the difference between work and play is the attitude that you take regarding making money.
Mm.
So you can make the present job that you're in, you can make it more fun and make money at it. And I don't care who you're working for, that job only controls how much money you make working for that job. They do not control how much money you make. So, people can make money with ideas, and that's another word that I play with in the book. The idea is an acronym. The idea is an internal description of expanding alignment. This is what I'm sharing with you, my idea of perfection. When you hear the passion in my voice, when you hear the things that I talk about that make me happy, it is my internal description of expanding alignment. And so you're hearing the passion, you're hearing the things that give me joy. Now, you don't have to make or hear my ideas and make them your own. You can see and hear from my from your observation of me and then go, wow, he's really happy. How can I be happy like that for me?
Right.
And then go on your own and be happy for you. You know, so that's both perspectives on the money-making aspect, because look at the things that have made people millions. The Pet Rock, ladies and gentlemen. The Pet Rock.
Indeed.
Made somebody a lot of money. You know, Play-Doh, the Frisbee.
Yeah.
Slinky. Yes, the Slinky. Oh, and get this. There's something out called the Snuggie. I don't know if you've seen a commercial or an infomercial for this thing. Check this out. Somebody made millions on the Snuggie, and they call it a blanket that you can wear to the front. It's a reverse hot coat. Somebody forgot that, hey, they are lazy and they forgot about the house coat. They can just put the house coat on, but I'm going to have this thing and I'm going to show it to you and going to tell it to you that, you know, if you don't have the Snuggie, you are not happy. And you just forgot about the house coat, and because I forgot about the house coat, somebody made millions. I'm not knocking it. I'm just letting you know how they present it to you and how an idea, an internal description of expanding alignment can get you what you want.
Yeah, indeed. Well said. Well said, you little snuggy person.
I love it. But that's just how they market it to us. Once you, and again, I make this statement in the book, or just in my life, period. You know, I am doing things for me that, you know what? I am switching from audience member to magician. And just because I'm the magician, now the show really begins.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying there? Because we are
I lost you.
Okay, that's fine.
I thought
You
were going to start that. It's like, okay, well, what does that mean?
Well, this is what it means. As an audience member, we look at people and we go, wow, they're great. Wow, look at what they're doing. How do they do that? And then we start to figure out, and they're just a person that's representing magic in their lives, and they're showing, isn't this great? And then we're sitting out there as the audience member going, wow, that's cool. I don't know if I could do that. But then if we give ourselves the opportunity of, how can I make magic in my life? And then you start to learn how you can make magic in your life.
Right.
You start to know how you can create magic in your life. And guess what? Now you are the magician. And now, just because you're the magician, does not mean the show is over. Now you are at conscious control of how you can create, because you're using your wonderful imagination. Or just take the word imagine. It's not in my book, but I play with this too, that if you just take the word imagine and not changing, you know, any of the spelling.
Okay.
I change the speaking of imagine, and I say, I'm a genie.
Okay.
Go ahead and type it out and look
That's
at that
exactly
word.
That's exactly what I mean. Exactly.
Go ahead and look at it. Type it out.
I did. I'm
a genie, but that's imagine.
Wow.
So through my imagination and through my creating, my internal description of expanding alignment, I find out what's happy for me. I find out those things that give me joy. And then as I do those things, as I find more things to celebrate in life, then I have more things to celebrate.
Right, of course.
So this is what we're talking about for as far as creation. You know, for as far as, you know, the idea of alchemy and all of these things. And that's the one thing that, you know, going back to the dynamic of the God, money, sex, they're all one. They're all your own natural energy. What's the energy that they all share? They share the energy of creation.
Right.
God is in everything, created everything, is of everything. There is nothing that is not without God or energy. So with money, you can create foundations, you can create playgrounds, you can create, you can build whatever it is that you want. And with sex, you can create people. You can create other, you know. And, you know, and with looking at
that's
sex
funny
as a sacred.
When you said that. You're right.
Right, exactly.
Right.
But with sex, too, it's a sacred energy exchange, so you can look at everything that you're doing as a sacred thing because it is creation and expression.
Right.
And how wonderful is the actualization of that expression. And here's the fun part, too, because with those creations, we don't have to do anything. We just have to allow it to come through. Recognize in your life all of the things that you think you may be missing. Okay, they're in your experience now. You just think you got a little bit of it. And if you can see a little bit of it, you can go, ooh, I bet I can get more of this. Because if you can allow a little bit, you can allow a whole lot more.
Right.
Because now, when we're talking about, and again, for as far as my teaching and sharing with people, I switch how I think of things because I'm no longer a person that has all of these programs running. You know, because it makes me think that, you know, I got these programs, I'm stuck, I can't change these programs. But, you know, here is how we are magnetized and how we create and how we have this vibrational energy that the universe responds to. Think of yourself as a battery. You have a positive and negative charge. Now, the negative does not mean bad. It's just a polarity. It's just something that causes contrast.
Absolutely.
With the polarities, gives you a baseline vibration, okay? And so when we were in those states of, well, how am I attracting now? Let's just take that relationship idea. Let's just say on the positive side, you want a relationship. And on the negative side, you go, well, why do you want a relationship? Because I'm lonely. I want a relationship because I'm lonely. I want a relationship because I'm lonely. I want a relationship because I'm lonely, relationship, lonely, relationship. Bam! That's how you are creating. Mm. You are creating a lonely relationship. So you can switch it up. You can change it. You can go, I want a relationship because I deserve it. I love me. And I can love somebody else. So if I love me, I can love somebody else. I'm a loving person. People are going to be attracted to me. You know, from my rules, I make them up. You know, there is no way that I could ever be alone.
Right.
Because, you know, for as far as my mind, I'm a great guy. Who in the hell would not want to be with me? There is no way. I mean, because I tell people,
you better watch it. 400 people going to show up. It's kind of like the dog whistle. I'm joking, baby.
right. You know, but think about it. This is what is there for all of us.
I love it. I agree with you wholeheartedly, literally.
You know, because it's like this. You know, if I don't love me, how in the hell will anyone else love me either? Or how can I love somebody else?
Well, and it's not only how can they, let's look at the laws of the universe. The outside is reflecting the inside. If we don't love ourselves on the inside, then it must be shown on the outside. There can be no other way. Because there is no coincidences. There are no random acts here. That part of my belief in the perfection of God is the outside is just simply showing me what's going on inside. If I don't like it outside, I don't go to the mirror. I go to me to change the mirror on the outside. You
right.
know, change within and watch it change without. And I have seen this several. I mean, my father, the day of my graduation of college, I mean, I'm literally zipping up my cap and gown, you know, putting the safety pins in, looking pretty smart. And my father picks a fight with me, screaming at me what a loser I am for graduating a 2-year degree in 5 years because I went part-time. So, I won't even get into the whole, I'm screaming. My parents were both from cities in New York, boroughs in New York. We live in Connecticut, but we're all screamers over here. So
sure.
We're screaming at each other, and I'm like, don't show. Later on in life, after my mom dies, I leave the house, I come back, and I recognize, okay, I'm now clearly on the path going, my father's going a radio show host. Are you out of your mind? You're never going to make this work. This is a dime a dozen. No, you know, the whole nobody gets discovered because you're just a little fish in a big pond. And it started, okay, the first thing I noticed was, okay, here's the pattern. When really good things happen to me, my father shows me my fear of failure. I'm now on path going, that must be inside of me because he wouldn't reflect it if it wasn't. In other words, I take out, let's not get personal, it's not my father attacking me. My father is reflecting me. Once I got that, I started genuinely just working on, you know, the whole idea of affirmations and breathing techniques and genuinely going, well, why couldn't I be famous? I mean, I because at this point, I clearly know I can be famous on whatever level it's going to be, even if it's in my own glorious mind.
And look at this. Look at this. Look at what you just said here and again. For me, I hear a code within our language, and I hear words differently. So, and look at what they call this in whatever circle you're in, the I formation.
Ah. Well, Jeff, no lie, to this day, my father, about 3, 4, 5 months ago, whatever it was, he literally came into me and he goes, don't give up on your dream. I believe in you. And not only was I floored because my father, you know, I went a little bit back into that kind of unconscious mode and went, oh, my God, my father. But then I went, Goldie, don't go unconscious now. Why do you think he's saying that? Because you believe in you. Not because he believes it. Don't give your power to him. You finally got it when he was pooping all over you. Now get it when he gives it to you. It's you that believes it, not him. And Jeff, I went, well, this stuff works. Because he genuinely shifted what he was saying. And my father's like as old school as you get. I mean, I'm, you know, the spiritual, you know, hawk of the family, and he's an engineer scientist. So, but now here's another thing. Okay, and then once I get deeper into my relationship with my father, now I start, as we go into our relationship, my father's not just black and white because of the numbers that he used to crunch when he worked. He was an alchemist. And he has told me stories how he has fixed things in his job of a metallurgist by basing things on the dynamics of movement where nobody else in the company would have seen it or didn't ever see it, and he saw it. And all of a sudden, where I'm thinking me and my father are light years on two ends of a spectrum, he's metal and physical, I'm metaphysical. All of a sudden, we meet in the middle because, oh, my God, my father is the alchemist teaching me things like integrity. He built our house on a handshake because his word is golden. I mean, true things that I take into my experience that instead of becoming resistant to this incredible, glorious man I call my father, he becomes this shining, beautiful experience for me that really came when, what we said, I took responsibility of my experience. So I never spoke of my dad like that on the air. Thank you for that.
No, my pleasure. And again, too, and just recognizing that you understand how you had a belief about yourself and your father, and you switched and thought a new thought about yourself and your father, and it changed.
Literally,
it changed.
It changed him. My belief changed the words in his mouth, or coming out of his mouth. Which is, that's the part when I try to tell people, if they're really, their head is in the sand, so to speak, because I was going to say deep in the hole, but no, that would be the same place I'm in, but they're in a different, they're in the H-O-L-E as opposed to the W-H-O-L-E, O-L-E. They're like, I could never change my partner, and it's like, you don't even have to try, it will happen effortlessly, from that point of view.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, too, because now it's because there's in this universe, there is no law of assertion. If a person is going to change, they're going to change of their own free will. There's nothing that you can do to facilitate that, but understand that you changed how you saw things inside of you.
Yes.
And so the universe has no choice but to conform to your inner belief. And because you changed how you thought about you regarding your father, you saw him not running that same program that he was doing to spur that old response, and he reflected it back to you. So understand that there's, it is not a law of assertion. You can't, you know, force a person to change. You know, you can't force them to change, but when you change you, the universe goes right within accordance of that.
Well, it supports all changes I make.
Because everything that is within, because again, what we're playing with and what I hadn't stated, because again, our emotions are telling us all of this. And so going back to everything that you allow yourself to feel will be a feeling of peace towards you, a feeling of fulfillment, fulfilling me, of giving me peace, everything that I could have, that one emotion.
Yeah.
You make it. You make it. You generate it. So it doesn't matter. You don't have to attach fulfillment to any activity, to any person. Just understanding that everything that you want is a feeling that you'll generate. You generate all the feelings. You control how you generate them. So go ahead and just take control. Be happy with what you're doing, and notice how many more happy people you're going to run into.
Well, let me ask you a question, because doesn't this kind of run with the scheme of, what is it? Not to have what I want or want what I have. What is that saying? How does that one go? Where the whole idea is, you know, you if you want what you don't have, well then clearly, like you were saying, what did you a lack attack or is
yeah,
that
it's
what,
a lack attack.
Right.
Yeah, what that means, what they're saying there is that how can you achieve the things that you want and desire when you can't see them already in your experience?
Right.
My rules, I make them up, okay? Knowing the difference between, you know, having everything that you need concerning everything that you want. So now, if I have this want of money and I'm thinking that I don't have enough, well,
right,
then I just created that I don't have enough. But if I have enough money, that's going to be my excuse to feel good about me. And if I'm feeling happy with the money that I have, if I am happy with me, if I am happy and if I've made peace with where I am, because that's when things change. That's the only time that things will change, is when you accept your responsibility, when you make peace with where you are and say, yes, I did it. And once you take ownership of that, now you can change it, because now you're not putting it outside of you. You're not putting it in somebody else's hands. You're not putting it saying that I need this man to make me happy. He needs to have to put a ring on my finger just so I can feel worthy.
Yeah.
I just got to have it. I mean, because look at this. This, for as far as this idea of separation, they showed us this stuff, and it was hammered to us all the time. Just for as far as the sexes are concerned, get this, and let's just see if you remember this one. Girls are made of sugar and spice and everything nice. What are boys made of? Snips and snails and puppy dog tails. What the hell? How did that happen?
Jeff, I couldn't be further from that picture.
What? What is this?
Girls fart and burp just as good as men, and I would beg anybody to say otherwise.
Right? You know, there are some women that can just blow, you know, burps better than I ever could. I mean, I can have 16 root beers and can barely get out, you know, something that's that's loud. You know, and yet my friend can come next to me and just, she can take a deep breath, and then she'll just hammer out some thunder. I mean, some straight-up bass.
Yeah,
she is bringing the bass.
Well,
and it's like, how do you do that?
It's a body thing. I tell my the kids, and if a child does it and giggles, then we should all be doing it and giggling. When children burp and fart, they crack up. It is so – and you can see, though, as they get older, the conditioning. And because you see it go from – they giggle as infants. And then you can see the conditioning change it to shame as they enter 4, 5, 6 and up. It's incredible how you see their whole little world become this thing that's no longer fun, no longer, you know, silly and joyful, but but, you know, compartmentalized and shameful.
Right, and it's just so weird how that, you know, well, they call it weird just because it's just part of that conditioning, that man-made stuff that they need us to be a certain way so that they can feel good.
Yeah.
And we bought into that.
Yeah.
Because you're quite right. If burping and passing gas is so cute when we're little babies, how come we grew out of that? Because they go, that's disgusting. Oh, that's just terrible. But everybody does it.
That's what
it's
I always
like,
say. How do you stop
like
it? Everybody
does it.
Does it.
Yes.
Exactly. And, you know, if we would look at things from a space, because that's another thing. Boys not being able to cry? Are you kidding me? How dangerous that is for the physiology of a person's body not to express that release. That's like not coughing if something's lodged in your throat. You die
exactly.
If you don't cry.
Exactly.
I mean,
you know, and it's just that expression. But you know, that's part of these social conditions.
Yeah. Yeah. It's dangerous.
You know?
It's dangerous.
Right. Well, it is what it is.
Right.
And knowing that you can, it is what it is.
Okay.
And knowing that you recognize it, because now you understand that what you are seeing is like a splinter in your brain, and now you can take it out and be in more control of how you view it. Because if I don't have to believe everything that I think, I'm thinking about this, and it makes me feel bad. And guess what? It's showing me other opportunities in life to be offended because I'm looking for more things that I want to refer to as bad. And now that I'm recognizing that I'm seeing more darkness than light, just to have a contrast.
Okay.
You keep seeing more darkness, more things that make you feel bad, then that's what you're going to keep seeing. When you begin to change your focus and see everything as is, like a baby does,
right?
Because a baby, through a baby's eyes, the world is magnificent.
I'm telling you.
The world is amazing.
Shit is a thing to play with, not a thing to be feared.
Exactly. Exactly. Because check this out.
I had to say it.
Right. Check this out. Let's go for all of our listeners here. Let's just change our world completely right here, since we have the power to do so.
Okay.
Check this out. Okay. I said that, you know, when we were little kids, we knew everything we needed to know to make our lives work. Guess what? You still do. And why is it in some of the teachings they say that the kingdom, you must have the eyes of a child to enter the kingdom of heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Check this out. If you can, close your eyes. And then open your eyes and look around the room and look for the color blue. Just look for the color blue. Okay, quick, close your eyes. Now, when you open your eyes again, look for the color red. Just look for the color red, spot it out, check it out. Isn't that cool? Where did that come from? Okay, close your eyes. Now, when you open your eyes again, look for the color brown. Just go ahead and look around, see if you can find some brown. Cool, close your eyes. Now, when you open your eyes again, look for the color green. Cool. Nice. Now, close your eyes. Open your eyes again. Look for the color white. Nice. All right, close your eyes. Last time. When you open your eyes, look at all of the colors in your space. Just take it all in. Now, I don't know about you, but I just became more aware of how alive and vibrant my space really is, of how the energy of things are moving, of how I recognize the energy moving within me, because I can say yes to it all and not resist one color than the other.
Mm. I think they call this high definition.
Right, right. You know what? I don't need the television personally. It's cool to have a high definition television. That's cool. But if I need to have something in the room that makes me think that the person that I'm looking at on that screen is in the room with me, I just rather have a real person in the room with me.
Right.
You know, it's just easier for me. It's cheaper. You know, I can call them over and say, hey, come on over. Pass the chips. You know, and there's a real person there.
Well, you know, it is the big distraction.
Sure.
That's what I believe the whole, even to the point where when they chose the frequency from which they air TV, it is like a frequency of a subconscious tone in our
mm-hmm.
mind. And I don't believe that's a coincidence when it was developed in, you know, the 30s or whatever, whenever it was developed.
Right.
You know, there was just a lot of uses. Because, I mean, you have to remember, even when the movies back in the 40s or whatever, when they used to subliminally put in Go Buy Popcorn.
Sure.
You know, I mean, they've been playing with sounds and frequencies and
mm-hmm.
the whole conspiracy theories, you know. So here's the beautiful part about that. None of it works if you don't turn it on.
Right.
You know, none of those conspiracies can take hold of you if you don't put the TV on.
Right. And here, how's this for a more empowering thought?
Okay.
None of it works because you decide it doesn't work.
Well, exactly. Because
when you are in control of you,
that's true.
You decide on what you spend your money on. You decide on what makes you feel good. And when you decide on what makes you feel good and they can't control how you feel good, well, then they just kind of like go away. But
well,
that's how they've made their living by that.
Well, because one thing I've started to notice is when I drive from, like, towns to town, and lately I'm, like, all over the board, I'm just driving further than I have been, I'm noticing that when I see stores, it's like it's becoming like I'm consciously aware that every store has an owner, has an energy to sell me what's in their store. I've been quite aware of many stores saying for rent,
mm-hmm.
closing. There's just this whole energy around business right now for me that I don't know where it's coming from, somewhere obviously within me, but there's just such this tremendous deep sense of awareness that it's a business and they're selling. I'm not even sure how or why that's happening, but when I become aware of that, I feel like I'm waking up from the whole hypnosis that I need these things, and now I can choose where
right.
I want to buy things.
Right. And see, that's the thing there, too, that, you know, you choose. You choose, there's nothing wrong with the industry of providing products. Let's just be clear on that, because when we buy things, the people that made those things are benefiting from that purchase. They're sending their kids to college from the money that we're spending to buy that product.
Right.
Buying products and things are great for our economy and great for our society. And check this out. Let's just, I mean, because people say that we're in a recession. Well, by whose word by that? You know, by the big corporations. Oh, the corporations aren't making as much money as they are, so they're saying that we are in a downward spiral.
Right.
But hold on. But we're in a recession. People are still going out buying food. People are still going out buying gas. People are still going out and watching movies. And movies are having a $37.4 million weekend.
Right, right.
You know, and people are calling it a recession.
Right.
I think the recession is, again, that state of mind concerning
right.
money, thinking that there's only so much.
I agree.
Coming from that place that if I don't have a certain amount of money, I can't be happy. And so they are functioning from a place of insecurity. Now, when I say insecurity, I am inwardly secure, but they are thinking that they are not secure.
Oh.
They are uncomfortable with their thinking. They are uncomfortable. They are thinking thoughts that are making them uncomfortable regarding money because they think, okay, we're just going to go here.
Go, babe.
All right. You know what the difference and what the whole idea of unworthiness is or uncertainty is?
Share.
It's the whole idea and concept of non-survival. Thinking that you won't, that you're going to experience something that is going to be so bad, so dastardly, that you won't know how to feel good again. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay, so now, since you are with me and since you understand that, guess what? That is the one thing that can never happen. Goldie, you've already experienced things in your life that at the time that you were experiencing them, they were terrible. They were gut-wrenching. They were any word that you want to describe that makes you feel wretched and horrible. But guess what? You've been giggling your ass off with me on this phone today, so you know how to feel good again.
Right.
And you will survive. I don't care what you've gone through. This whole idea of non-survival is a joke. Because, and again, the whole idea of non-survival, thinking that you won't know what it means to feel good again.
Right.
That you are going to be cut off from your God source energy. That cannot happen. That God source creation energy, it is always within you.
Jeff, you have no idea how you are literally answering things that have pondered my mind, because when I was younger and I had a very bad drug habit, I mean,
sure,
very, very bad, I remember thinking to myself when I was in recovery that because my drug of choice was cocaine, and
sure,
because of that, when you take too much cocaine, it literally triggers paranoia episodes. And I had thought to myself, I had literally dug a trench into really, really dark spaces. And I said, as long as I dug that trench, now my mind has the potential as a pattern to go back there. And
mm-hmm,
in all honesty, my spiritual path has clearly shown me, but not in your eloquence. You just seem to say things that I have experience to share. I'm not paranoid anymore. I not only have trust in myself, every single day I'm learning to trust more and more. Because my life shows me. I mean, I have $24 in my bank account right now, but my bills are paid, and I thoroughly expect to have enough money to pay your beloved half the room that we're sharing at Almeen, and any other monies that I'll need. They'll come. They'll come because I have created a life where I have multiple streams of income. So it might be a nanny gig. It might be my friend Jay. It might be a radio show. It might be an eBay sale. It might be whatever it is, but it always comes.
Right.
And I'm learning that, but I really believe what you said, that because I used to go, I'm never going to be able to think light again. I've dug a trench of just horribleness, and that's
right,
absolutely not my experience today. It's not.
Right, and here's what was actually happening for me that you're echoing here,
okay,
which is, you know, something that if everyone that's listening can relate to, they will understand this. Okay, everything that I've been talking about, okay, I've been expressing as an idea of how to live, you know, L-I-V-E, live.
Okay.
Now, everything that we've been talking about that's been detrimental, no, and we've been talking about it lightly, that's what people have described to us as being evil. Do you realize that if you put live in front of a mirror, you will see evil?
Mm.
Spelled exactly the same, just in reverse. I mean, you know, it's got the same letters, spelled in a different direction. So live and evil, one and the same for as far as the reflection. So anything that you've experienced that was detrimental, you were just living life backwards. Now, going on from the state of where you were using the drugs as an excuse to feel however you were feeling, but it gave you more access to the things that you didn't like. You know, it's in my book. People are battling demons, because I had my own demons and stuff like that,
mm-hmm,
you know, to deal with as well. But, you know, and I mean demons in this sense. Now, love is all there is, and hear me clearly. I have never been in the presence of some horned thing with goat feet and a tail and a spike that was trying to kill me and punish me, that was out to get me. Never had it. Doesn't exist. That type of whole mentality is just not there. When people are battling their demons, this is what they're experiencing. They are dealing with their deep emotions manifesting one's negativity.
Absolutely. Because you know what coke does? It makes you numb. And that
right,
really was what I had things that happened to me in my childhood I did not want to feel. Just so everybody knows, anybody who's in the chat room, we might go over a few minutes today. It will continue to, you can listen to it in the archives, because we're going to wrap this up from a more natural point, not necessarily time. Time doesn't exist. So it's going to, it'll stop streaming live, but those in the chat room, if you're still in, will still hear it. So keep going.
Cool. So that's what you are experiencing.
Right.
You are dealing with those deep emotions, manifesting one's negativity. And that is deep emotions and heaviness, deep emotions and lack attack and fear, anything that's detrimental.
Right.
That's what you're dealing with.
Right.
And once you understand that, you know, the idea of ego. Okay, again, my rules, I make them up. For as far as ego is concerned, ego is the most wonderful thing that you can ever have, because ego tells you what it is that you like. Ego tells you what it is that you want. And ego, for me, is energy generating outcome. It just
E-O.
Is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's ego is nothing more than the energy that generates the outcome. When you are aware of your intention before you engage your ego, that's what you want to pay attention to. That's what you want to feel and go, this is going to be a loving expression. When you have your ego and you're going, I'm going to manipulate someone, oh, then that's where all the pain and strife come in, because you're trying to make things in an unnatural state.
Right.
When you understand that your natural state is power, then everything else is in its natural state of power, and it doesn't have to be a certain way so that you can feel good.
Wow.
You can just feel good.
That's deep. Exactly. You don't try. You are.
No. No,
you just
are. Exactly.
It just is.
Yep.
Wow. Wow. Jeff, you're rocking. You going to come on the show again?
Sure.
All right.
Yes, let me know anytime. I'd love to come back on.
I would enjoy it very much. You triggered a lot of stuff, and I like your energy. The chat room was loving you, too. They're all having a really good time, and I mean,
cool.
Several times they were writing, we're loving this. So, yeah, the chat room enjoyed you. I enjoyed you. And listen, but it really comes down to, did you enjoy you? Because if you didn't enjoy it, you're not coming back.
Right. No, I do. Well, you just know I enjoyed myself. I can make myself laugh at a heartbeat. So I know how to take care of me.
There you go.
I am good doing that.
Do you have anything to plug? I'm sorry, I didn't plug. It'll be on the archive. We didn't plug it live, but are you going to be anywhere? Do you want to promote anything? Or the book, I've been putting the book up, where to find the book, on your synergy.com website. But any, I don't know, do you have things coming up?
No, that's. I've got some book signings and stuff that are coming up in my local area. They can all check those out. On my website soon. But no, other than that, they can, you know, the information has been put out there, and anything that I would promote, they've gotten the conversation. They heard it throughout the show.
Okay.
That's what I'm promoting. That's what's out there. That's the truth that can be for everyone. But again, just understand that these are my rules. I make them up, and I do what's right for me. And, you know, I don't have to make someone else wrong for me to be right.
Yeah, no, I salute you, my friend. You are, you're a lot of fun, and, you know, I'm a total fan of your other half, and now I'm a fan of her other half. So I guess I'm a fan of the whole bunch of you guys over there. I really, really enjoyed this. You rocked tonight. It was a lot of fun. Your energy was everything I thought it would be, and more. And so we'll definitely, I will be in touch. We'll get you on the show again. Thank you, trusty chat room people. I appreciate all the, all the icons. There's a lot of hearts and a lot of love in that chat room, boy. God bless. All right. I love you guys. Next week, Almeen will be on the show. It'll be a pre-tape, but we're going to do the second half. The second hour will be for questions. And actually, Jeff's lovely partner, Dawn, will be on with us next week. So tune in next week. Everybody have an amazing week. Jeff, you rock. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
I will talk to everybody really soon. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now.